Hey everybody, welcome to the Thanksgiving edition. Happy Turkey Day of the OIG Roundtable. The Bruce Springsteen tour has come to a conclusion till the summer of 2025. You never know. He might show up at the podcast. We can only hope. I saw him, I think, 30 times during the 2023-2024 tour. I'm hoping he knows that. I'm hoping that he shows up to the podcast. Matt Kachansky, retired special agent in charge, retired Northeast UPIC director, payment integrity director here at Advise, and Wade McFall, retired assistant special agent in charge, manager on our SIU team. I know you're excited about the prospect of Bruce showing up here.
Very.
You know, it's an exciting time. So I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving and you're having leftovers today, whatever your turkey Sammy looks like. And let's talk today about leaders, managers. Let's talk in the SIU space about, unfortunately, the fact that oftentimes SIUs are the dumping ground for the payer space in the payer space. I often liken it, the SIU work, and you know, even when we were at the OIG, I often liken it to, for those of you that remember the old Life cereal commercials, give it to Mikey, he'll eat it, he'll eat anything, right? That oftentimes when no one knows where to go or bring anything, they bring it to the SIU or payment integrity because they seem to be the ones. Investigators know how to find the answers to things. And that becomes oftentimes a big challenge. And there's a lot of collateral consequences of making the SIU or the payment integrity team the dumping ground, the least of which is attrition. People will say, I don't need to deal with this. But part of it is that, you know, when you're in that payment integrity space and you're in the managerial role and having to deal with juggling a few things, it's being able to understand that you are a leader and not just a manager. And so Wade, you know, you are the frontline manager leader in, you know, in the Los Angeles field office, one of the larger offices that OI, Office of Investigations, OI has. And you know, the joke is you clawed your way up to middle management because the ASAC, Assistant Special Agent in Charge job, is a really hard one or a really easy one, depending upon what's going on, right? You're getting it from the bottom. Working agents like myself, I never once sought to go into an ASAC position. I loved working cases. And, you know, thankfully there were, you know, a cadre of agents who wanted to spend their careers working cases and being proficient. And then there were, you know, people that wanted to get promoted up. And being that midline manager, you're getting it from the bottom and then you're getting it from the top, right? It's kind of a, you're getting squeezed. It's, you know, there's always, remember those commercials, you know, I want to claw my way up to middle management. But, you know, one of the big things is there's a real discernible difference between a manager and a leader. Not all managers are leaders. And not all leaders are in management, but if you're going to be in management, you have to be a leader and you have to be able to be able to deal with those. So, you know, let's talk about that, Wade, because, you know, a lot of people don't know about Wade is Wade spent a period of time in the Marine Corps as a United States Marine and learned, you know, even though you weren't in leadership, you learned how to be a leader early on in your life, right? As an 18-year-old joining the Marine Corps. And those are things that have carried you through for, you know, nearly 40 years. But there is a discernible difference between people that are leaders and managers, and they aren't always interchangeable. And they are important pieces of how you are going to help with keeping your SIU investigators motivated and working.
Right. And I think the biggest difference to kind of delineate the two, you know, differences between a manager and a leader is a leader has to not only have like working solutions, but like think outside the box and, you know, they have to be able to make decisions. Whereas a manager can sometimes get away with just following kind of the statement of work on, you know, moving papers from one bin to the next. And it's almost like a checklist where you have to, you know, there's certain things you have to do. You're doing file reviews, that type of thing. But it's kind of set out work where everybody is kind of follow, all the managers are following certain rules, and as long as you do certain things, you're checking the boxes for being an at least maybe efficient manager. Whereas a leader, you have to kind of think outside of the box. You have to be able to make decisions. You have to look at the bigger picture and try and, you know, fix things that are wrong, as opposed to just say, well, this is what I do. I do these tasks. I have 10 tasks that I do throughout the day. And as long as I do those, I'm checking the box and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, as opposed to trying to fix a long-term problem. And again, that may take different forms on going outside of that checkbox that all the other managers are following and thinking towards a solution. And if we're going to move this into the talk about the SIU world, if you're an SIU manager as opposed to a leader, you're probably going to do the same type of thing where you're making sure that the certain tasks are done. But when we look at the SIU as the dumping ground, as you were alluding to, and I think we'll talk more about it, where you're getting things that are really outside the SIU purview or what the statement of work is, if you're just a manager, you're going to take those and you say, well, I have to do something with them. So I'll assign it out to one of the investigators and have them look at it. And it's really not addressing the bigger picture, the bigger problem. And this is where you need the leader to come in and say, okay, just look at it. And these tasks that are coming in that I don't feel are part of SIU work, are they part of what we're going to be critiqued on at the end of the year? As you're looking at numbers, return on investment, that type of thing. If there's no mandate in there to whatever it might be, personnel issues that come in because they don't have somewhere else to send them, we're not getting critiqued on how many personnel issues we process or take care of. So that shouldn't be part of the statement of work. And a manager will just go along and say, well, my manager's sending these to me, so I have to do something with them. So you figure out something to do with them, but you're not, again, not looking at the big problem. So what you probably have to do is talk to upper management and get the statement of work changed so that that's not part. Either decide that we're not going to address these non-SIU issues, or if maybe some places just saying, yes, you're the only people that we have that can do it, and that's going to be part of your mandate. Well, then maybe you need to put that in the statement of work. So the
right
SIU investigator who's getting dealt with this stuff, at least they're getting credit for it as doing the type of work. But again, I think it needs to be closer to changing the statement of work to say, we will not address personnel issues, you know, sexual harassment complaints, whatever they may be, that are not part of an SIU. That's where the difference between the manager and leader comes in, because the leader is going to look outside the box and try and look at the bigger picture and correct the issue, and not just put a band-aid on it and process papers to appease their supervisor.
Well, and you know, one of the things that always comes up is this constant conversation where people say, don't bring me problems, bring me solutions. And, you know, I think the issue there is going to be that subordinate SIU investigators are going to say, well, my job is, you know, I'm just an investigator. I'm not in the leadership role. I'm not in a managerial role. So is it really my responsibility to provide solutions? But I think, you know, the way that you get buy-in to your team is when you are presented with a problem and you actually have the prospect of a solution, you help to shape the ability for that problem to not exist again, right? And you get to then focus on things. You know, I spent a large part of my time at OIG was spent mentoring new agents, and I loved it. I thought it was the most important thing that I could do in my job outside of investigations, because to me, it was helping to shape what the next round of investigators and agents were going to be like. And, you know, I thought that was an integral part. And if I found that there was something in the training that was missing or wasn't as strong as it could be, to me, that was a way of helping to ensure that if you care about where you are, I mean, I loved working at the OIG, and to me, it was about a little bit of a legacy. And I don't mean that with hubris. I just think that when you leave, you know, leave the place on good terms. You know, the worst thing that I always found were people who stayed beyond their expiration date and they became curmudgeon-y. And you would go to, you know, I had a very good friend at New York who he stayed beyond where he should have. And I remember saying to him when he was getting ready to retire, you know, or when he was starting to become curmudgeon-y, it was, look, you want to be the guy that was remembered for a 20-year successful career, or do you want to be the guy that's remembered for the last 2 years of you being an abject pain in the ass? Like, how do you want your legacy to be? And you want to make it, you want to leave the place as, you know, better than you found it. I mean, I've been fortunate when I go to an event or a retirement or something, and I'm introduced to people that I've never met, new agents who say, oh, I've heard about you, I know who you are. That's the greatest compliment that I think I could have ever been given in my whole professional life. And so it's bringing solutions to problems helps to foster that productivity and lets you focus. But the other half of it, right, Wade, is a good leader is going to foster that growth so that when you're moving that piece of paper from the left side of the desk to the right, you're not seeing that piece of paper on the left side of the desk again, or you're hoping to find a different piece and that collaboration becomes part of it. But Matt, the part that it then spills into is that you then potentially have a situation where the team doesn't get to grow personally, professionally, work on projects that they find interesting or things like that. And then you wind up getting either a situation where you have high attrition or you have a group of people who are just non-productive, and then the team becomes dysfunctional and you're kind of a mouse on a wheel.
Yeah. And some of the clients that I've talked to recently, it seems like where the SIU fits into an organization, into the program integrity world of a insurance plan, it's not very well defined. And a lot of the people don't know, you know, what an SIU does or should be doing. And so there is a lot of this dumping ground type of attitude. And without a good leader that is able to see the root cause of this problem and try to solve it, you get into, you know, talking to some of these investigators, they kept talking about, I feel like I'm just spinning plates. You know, I've got stuff I'm doing. I'm handling HR complaints. I'm handling enrollment issues. I'm handling administrative issues of our members. And I'm not getting to the things that we need to do as an SIU, which is to find those potential fraud, waste, and abuse issues and resolve them, that they don't have the time to do them. And their manager is saying, just get them done, get them done, get them done. If it's you got one complaint about one claim, get it resolved and moved on to the next one. That's not resolving things as an SIU should, and it's certainly not resolving the root cause issues that is, you know, resulting in this mishandling of these complaints and causing the dissatisfaction of the employees knowing that they're not doing the jobs that they should be doing.
Well, so let's, you know, as we kind of run out of time and wrap this up. So there's two things, you know, in your past where you were kind of in a dumping ground. So when you were the special agent in charge down in headquarters, you oversaw a unit that really was that dumping ground for everything that no one knew where to go to. And then when you were running the UPIC, you know, the UPICs are unfortunately notoriously becoming the dumping ground for regional complaints that may be out of it. And you worked a lot on process improvement and things of that sort. So, you know, part of it is, and you know, when you were the special agent in charge at the unit in headquarters, that was also a dumping ground for agents that might not have been
productive. It was in the spirit of the season, it was the island of misfit toys.
Right. And while there have been a lot of changes in that, it was a place where people who may not have been successful or had administrative problems or whatever, it was kind of that dumping ground. So you had kind of two issues. You had a dumping ground of personnel. And obviously the difference is in the SIU space, you can go through HR and you can terminate and do things like that because it's not the same. But in the government, civil service, it's a different world.
Yeah.
And so you've got that. So you've got a combination of people who are potentially non-productive, know they're non-productive, don't have any motivation to be productive, and you have a tough time getting rid of them. Plus you're getting a bunch of work sent your way that you have a difficult time being able to administratively or otherwise adjudicate.
Yeah, it was a mishmash of responsibilities. It was FOIA. It was internal investigations. It was, all the undercover and UC and consensual monitoring approvals. It was all these little things with no centralized focus. And it was finding these people to get them focused on those things and to get them dedicated to those things was very difficult.
And then you get over to Northeast UPIC. And you spend a lot of your time there kind of retooling the process because the UPIC becomes that dumping ground. And typically what winds up happening is in the UPIC space, for those of you that aren't intimately familiar, UPIC are the Unified Program Integrity Contractors. It's basically the Special Investigations Unit in the Medicare space. What winds up happening is when the UPIC gets something that they're not going to handle, the very first thing that they do is put a referral together and send it over to the OIG.
Not always, but sometimes.
We would get a lot of similar
to what these SIUs that we've been visiting and helping with, the single claim complaint. We were, as a UPIC, we were getting those from the MACs. Here's a claim. Please resolve it for us because the provider was non-responsive for them or whatever. As soon as that happened, they would send it to us and say, oh, it's a fraud matter now, when it really wasn't. And so we would, it took months, if not longer, with some of these MACs to say, no, you keep these until you've developed that this is a pattern of a problem, then send it to us.
Right.
So
strong vetting becomes part of that. But then it kind of brings this full circle to the conversations we have regularly, which is collaboration, communication, and an understanding of everybody's kind of defined roles. Right. Now, here at Advise, as we kind of, we're running out of time to wrap up, we're a little bit of a different SAU because we're really just working the fraud, waste, abuse cases. But one of the things, Matt, that I know you have done with our team to keep them engaged and interested is basically give them, with some caveats, but free rein. You want to work on a project. You think there's a code out there. And this comes back to the conversations, Wade, you, me, and Matt talk about all the time. It's the analytics piece. And I don't mean the data. It's the knowledge analytics. And it's the, intelligence gathering. It's, hey, we're seeing 3 or 4 press releases about this thing or that thing. And it's giving investigators the ability to spread their wings and consider other things out there to keep them engaged. And it's kind of helping to focus. We're doing that with a lot of our SIU clients, right? We're trying to help them refocus and identify. It's not just prioritization of cases, but it's understanding what's a Matt Kachansky thing, right? I love saying what's a Wade McFall thing? What's an Eric Rubenstein thing and what's not? Matt Kachansky should only be doing Matt Kachansky things, right? You shouldn't be the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. And unfortunately, SIUs and payment integrity teams often become that because as you become more conversant in the payment integrity space within your organization, you get to know people in different departments and so people just kind of at some point, they just say, well, I'm going to send this to Matt. He'll know what to do with it. And I think that's where a good leader has to be able to step in to say, we need to have a little bit better lines of demarcation on how we're going to achieve those goals, because leaders and managers are not the same. Lots of people can be leaders and not be managers. And a lot of people that are managers are not leaders. And that you have to understand where both of those are. So it's an important piece of that SIU management piece. And Matt, for the last piece of this, it really does affect ROI and productivity when you're spending your day doing a bunch of things that aren't Matt Kachansky things.
I remember doing here's a name from the past, a Joe Muraski type of study, where when we were with the OIG, I looked at time spent and I couldn't find anybody that billed less than 50% of their time toward administrative functions. That meant less than half the time that they were doing the job, they were actually doing the job. There has to be ways to better lead them to be more effective, to have more impact.
Right. I mean, one great example of that, and we'll bring this back as a as an old guy's OIG story, where, you know, the people that you worked with who had seven cases in their inventory, but they had 30 collateral duties.
Oh, yeah.
And the more collateral duties they had, you know, I was a use of force instructor, defensive tactics instructor, and I had a couple other collateral duties. But, you know, I loved working cases. So if those collateral duties got in the way, I had to go talk to my boss and say, hey, look, this is becoming too much. But then there were people who had 20 collateral duties and they had seven cases, none of which were going anywhere. So that's again,
they wanted more collateral duties. Yeah. I need more training. I need more.
Right. This. And that's where you get leader manager. And you have to be able to understand, you know, as a leader and a manager, like, where is that balance? So it's, you know, it's tough. The SIU space is, you know, when an individual signs up for insurance or open enrollment, they change plans. The average person doesn't look at what is the ROI on fraud, waste, abuse, and compliance. They want to know, is my flu shot going to be covered? You know, am I going to be able to get my mammogram, my colonoscopy, my well visits, my baby? Those are the things that matter. Internally, the things that matter most in the SIU comes from the SIU, right? And the payment integrity side. And so that becomes, it's a huge struggle. The SIU space is a very challenging space because it is oftentimes somewhat divergent from what we would consider to be what that focus should be. And so good leaders are going to help to rein that in and have those conversations to make sure, is my team spending greater than 50% or whatever that percentage is of their day doing something other than the thing that they're supposed to do? So it's a conversation. When we've done a lot of our process improvement work, I know we have identified some of those improvements. We're seeing it with a couple of our clients where they've been able to help and we've been able to help them reshape and refocus some of that direction so that it really isn't a mouse on a wheel kind of an analysis. So ongoing conversations, process improvement is probably the number one area in the SIU space because it's all ROI. And again, we'll have more conversations about tangible, but we will certainly continue to have conversations about intangible ROI, which very few people are really having the conversation about. It's a legitimate conversation. Intangible ROI exists. And you have to be able to see that. So good conversation as always. I'm really disappointed.
Bruce didn't show up.
He's over in Saint-Tropez with his family on his yacht for Thanksgiving. I just saw some pictures online about it. I'm not a stalker. I'm a fan. There's
I was wondering about this. 30 shows, following him online. Maybe he's not showing up because he knows you're here.
It's very possible. It's very possible.
Bruce Springsteen. Well, my big question
there might be a restraining order somewhere.
My question is, what are you going to do for the rest of the till next summer if he's not in concert? Oh, you're not going to have anything to do.
I'm cooked. More podcasts. More podcasts. Yeah. They're coming. All right, listen. We hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. As you know, this is coming to you in your inbox on Friday. YouTube, Spotify, all of that. So Thanksgiving will have come and gone. We're getting ready to wrap up for the end of the year. But as always, we appreciate everybody tuning in. Again, any ideas, suggestions, thoughts, recommendations for podcasts, we're happy to engage in those. As always, we're really super excited to have everybody participate in these. Our followers on LinkedIn continue to grow, and we get great feedback on suggestions for things like LinkedIn Lives and things of that sort. We got a lot of stuff in the hopper coming up. We're going to be doing some special we'll call it a LinkedIn Live, but it's really going to be a podcast for people that are currently in the law enforcement community looking to retire and segue in. Wade and Matt and I have been getting a lot of conversations, particularly Wade at some of the recent things that he's been to. We're going to have some special stuff there. We're going to continue to bring you some other topics in the space. So as again, we always welcome comments, concerns, criticisms, questions, and support. And hope you guys, again, all had a great Thanksgiving. And we'll see you on the next OIG Roundtable. Take care, everybody.